1913. March 17th, 1913. Soul Winning by Correspondence. Ellen G. White. The great lack of men to go from place to place and preach the word may be in a great degree supplied by tracts and papers and by intelligent correspondence. If all would realize the necessity of doing to the utmost of their ability in the work of God, having a deep love for souls, feeling the burden of the work upon them, we should see hundreds engaged as active workers who hitherto have been dull and uninterested, accomplishing nothing. They have felt that there was nothing of importance in this tract and missionary work, nothing worthy of their special interest. Yet it is a fact that the circulation of our papers is doing even a greater work than the living preacher can do. All can do something. Some can do more than others. But all should become intelligent as to how they can work most successfully and methodically in spreading the light of truth by scattering our publications. We meet with young and old who profess to be children of God, yet who have not grown an inch for years. A Christian indeed will grow in knowledge of the truth, and as he is sanctified through the truth, he will become more and more like Jesus, and more desirous to save souls, the purchase of his blood. Those who are co-laborers with God will have no disposition to engage in the various expedients for amusement. They will not be seeking after happiness and enjoyment. In taking up their work in the fear of God and doing service for the Master, they will secure the most substantial happiness. Connected with Jesus Christ, they will be wise unto salvation. They will be fruit-bearing trees. They will develop a blameless life, a beauteous character. The great work of redemption will be their first consideration. Eating and drinking and dressing, houses and lands, will be secondary matters. The peace of God will force off the withered or gnarled branches of selfishness, vanity, pride, and indolence. It is faith and practice that make up the Christian's life. We do not meet the standard of Christianity by merely professing Christ and having our names upon the church book. We should be individual workers for Christ. By personal effort, we can show that we are connected with Him. All cannot go abroad, but all can do something at home. We should, as Christians, have an abiding sense that our time, our strength, our ability have been purchased with an infinite price. We are not our own, to use our moments in gratifying our fancy and our pride. As children of the light, we should diffuse light to others. It should be our study how we may best glorify God, how we can work to save and bless souls for whom Christ died. In working to bless others, we shall be gathering strength and courage to our own souls, and shall receive the approval of God. Mrs. E. G. White, November 17, 1913. Holidays Unto God, Part 1, Ellen G. White. Would it not be well for us to observe holidays unto God, when we could revive in our minds the memory of His dealing with us? Would it not be well to consider His past blessings, to remember the impressive warnings that have come home to our souls, so that we shall not forget God? The world has many holidays, and men become engrossed with games, with horse races, with gambling, smoking, and drunkenness. They show plainly under what banner they are standing. They make it evident that they do not stand under the banner of the Prince of Life, but that the Prince of Darkness rules and controls them. Shall not the people of God more frequently have holy convocations in which to thank God for His rich blessings? Shall we not find time in which to praise Christ for His rest, peace, and joy, and make manifest by daily thanksgiving that we appreciate the great sacrifice made in our behalf, that we may be partakers of the divine nature? Shall we not speak of the prospective rest in the paradise of God, and tell of the honor and glory in store for the servants of Jehovah? My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. We are homeward bound, seeking a better country, even a heavenly. Excitement and enthusiasm.
The world is full of excitement. Men act as though they had gone mad over low, cheap, unsatisfying things. How excited have I seen them over the result of a cricket match? I have seen the streets in Sydney densely crowded for blocks, and on inquiring what was the occasion of the excitement, was told that it was because some expert player of cricket had won the game. I felt disgusted. Why are not the chosen of God more enthusiastic? They are striving for an immortal crown, striving for a home where there will be no need of the light of the sun or moon, or of lighted candle. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. They will have a life that measures with the life of God, but the candle of the wicked shall be put out in ignominious darkness, and then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The Holy Watcher in our schools. Why should we not expect the Holy Watcher to come into our schools? Our youth are there to receive an education, so that they may do all in their power to acquire a knowledge of the Most High God, and to make him known as the only true God. They are there to learn how to present Christ as a sin-pardoning Savior. They are there to gather up precious rays of light, in order that they may diffuse light again. They are there to show forth the loving kindness of the Lord, to speak of his glory, to sound forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Those who are faithful will be clothed with white robes, will have palms of victory in their hands, and will stand in the heavenly courts. John says, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Mrs. E. G. White, November 24, 1913. Holidays Unto God, Part 2. Ellen G. White, Festivals of Rejoicing. Shall we not keep holy festivals unto God? Shall we not show that we have some enthusiasm in his service? With the grand, ennobling theme of salvation before us, shall we be as cold as statues of marble? If men can become so excited over a match game of cricket, or a horse race, or over foolish things that bring no good to anyone, shall we be unmoved when the plan of salvation is unfolded before us? Let the school and the church, henceforth, have festivals of rejoicing unto the Lord. I do not recommend pleasure parties, where young people assemble together for mere amusement, to engage in cheap, nonsensical talk, and where loud, boisterous laughter is to be heard. I do not recommend this kind of gathering, where there is a letting down of dignity, and the scene is one of weakness and folly. Satan's fascinations. Many times young men for whom heavenly intelligences have been waiting, in order to number them as missionaries for God, are drawn into the gatherings for amusement and are carried away with Satan's fascinations. Instead of being afraid to continue their association with girls, whose depth of mind is easily measured, whose character is of a cheap order, they become enamored of them and enter into an engagement. Satan knows that if these young men enter into an engagement with cheap-minded, pleasure-loving, worldly-minded, irreligious young women, they will bind themselves to stumbling blocks. Their usefulness will be largely crippled, if not utterly destroyed. Even if the young men themselves succeed in making an unreserved surrender to God, yet they will find that they are greatly crippled by being bound to an untrained, undisciplined, unchristlike wife who is dead to God, dead to piety, and dead to true holiness. their lives will prove unsatisfying and unhappy. Gatherings for amusement confuse faith and make the motive mixed and uncertain. The Lord accepts no divided heart. He wants the whole man. He made all there is of man. He offered a complete sacrifice to redeem the body and soul of man. That which he requires of those whom he has created and redeemed is summed up in these words: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. God will accept nothing less than this. Firmness in resisting temptation. If the students who attend our colleges would be firm and maintain integrity, if they would not associate with those who walk in the paths of sin, nor be charmed by their society, like Daniel, they would enjoy the favor of God. If they would discard unprofitable amusements and indulgence of appetite, their minds would be clear for the pursuit of knowledge. They would thus gain a moral power that would enable them to remain unmoved when assailed by temptation. It is a continual struggle to be always on the alert to resist evil, but it pays to obtain one victory after another over self and the powers of darkness. And if the youth are proved and tested, as was Daniel, what honor can they reflect to God by their firm adherence to the right? How to spend holidays. Recreation is needful to those who are engaged in physical labor, and is still more essential for those whose labor is principally mental. It is not essential to our salvation, nor for the glory of God, to keep the mind laboring constantly and excessively, even upon religious themes. There are amusements, such as dancing, card playing, chess, checkers, etc., which we cannot approve, because heaven condemns them. These amusements open the door for great evil. They are not beneficial in their tendency, but have an exciting influence, producing in some minds a passion for those plays which leads to gambling and dissipation. All such plays should be condemned by Christians, and something perfectly harmless should be substituted in their place. I saw that our holidays should not be spent in patterning after the world, yet they should not be passed by unnoticed, for this will bring dissatisfaction to our children. On these days, when there is danger that our children will be exposed to evil influences and become corrupted by the pleasures and excitement of the world, let the parents study to get up something to take the place of more dangerous amusements. Give your children to understand that you have their good and happiness in view. Let several families living in a city or village unite and leave the occupations which have taxed them physically and mentally, and take an excursion into the country, to the side of a fine lake, or to a nice grove where the scenery of nature is beautiful. They should provide themselves with plain, hygienic food, the very best fruits and grains, and spread their table under the shade of some tree or under the canopy of heaven. The ride, the exercise, and the scenery will quicken the appetite, and they can enjoy a repast which kings might envy. On such occasions, parents and children should feel free from care, labor, and perplexity. Parents should become children with their children, making everything as pleasant for them as possible. Let the whole day be given to recreation. Exercise in the open air for those whose employment has been within doors and sedentary will be beneficial to health. All who can should feel it a duty to pursue this course. Nothing will be lost, but much gained. They can return to their occupations with new life and new courage to engage in their labor with zeal, and they are better prepared to resist disease. Mrs. E. G. White.